Hello, I'm Father John Horgan, pastor of Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Vancouver, Canada, and welcome to our series, The Angels of God. Today, I want to speak to you about the activities of the holy angels in our spiritual lives. There's been a great interest in the angels in the last two decades, but much of this interest has come from the New Age movement and thinks of the angels without reference to God. As we've seen from the scriptures and from the tradition of the church, Christ is Lord of the angels. They are his servants, ministers of his truth and of his grace. And so if we want to have an authentic reverence and devotion for the angels, if we want to collaborate with them in their work, we must always remember that Christ is at the center of our prayer, our love, and the love and the tasks of the angels. Now, there are five tasks that I want to speak to you about today. The angels are messengers of God's love, stewards, warriors, guardians, and finally, adorers. Let's begin thinking of the angels as messengers. As we saw in earlier programs, the word angel itself means messenger. These pure spirits are sent from God to speak to us, to communicate to us his grace, his goodness, his truth. They do this through inspirations, ordinarily, inspirations that come to us in the course of our prayer and also in the course of daily events as we discern, with the grace of the Holy Spirit, the circumstances of our daily life and the situations in which we find them ourselves. But the angels bring messages from God because, first and foremost, they contemplate God. The ancient fathers of the church spoke often about the angels circling God, contemplating him, adoring him. Now, what is it that the angels see as they gaze on the face of God? Well, with their remarkable minds, their intellects, so much greater, so much superior to ours, they see with a special clarity the existence, the stability, the order, the truth, the beauty, the love of God. They contemplate the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In God the Father, they see the stability of God himself. They see his plan for creation and growth. In God the Son, the Word who becomes flesh, they find the pattern for all creation. For through him and by him all things were created. In the Word made flesh, they see the truth of God come down to earth. They find in him the sign of hope for all mankind. In God the Holy Spirit, who is the love of the Father and the Son personified, they find the transforming power of perfect love. The angels receive these graces from their contemplation, these understandings, and then communicate them to us according to God's plan. As they enlighten us in prayer, they receive our responses, the responses of our praise and our petition to God. We know this from the pages of the scriptures. You remember that in the book of Tobit, we read that the angel Raphael said, "When you prayed with tears, I was there. When you left your evening meal in order to bury the dead and to say the prayers for your countrymen, I was with you. I am Raphael, one of the seven who stand in the presence of God and brings the prayers of the saints before him." In the book of Revelation 2, St. John will see angels holding bowls of incense, and the smoke of the incense represents the prayer of the holy ones that rises up to God. Now, angels, as deliverers of special messages from God, are to be found in the lives of the saints as well as in the scriptures. We read, of course, about St. Gabriel, who brought the message of the Incarnation to our Blessed Lady, the angel of the Lord who spoke to St. Joseph, the angels who appeared to the shepherds and to the Magi. Then, too, in the course of our church's history, in the lives of the saints, we also find at times that the angels are sent by God with special messengers. Saint Michael spoke to Joan of Arc. An angel of peace appeared to the three children at Fatima. Padre Pio lived in a special relationship and intimacy with his guardian angel and with many other angels besides. When the angels speak to us, they invite us to prayer. They invite us to praise of God. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the great mystic of the Sacred Heart, once saw a vision of the seraphim in the garden of the convent. She was going about her daily duties, her works and responsibilities, when she saw before her the trees filled with the angels, and the seraphim cried out to her and invited her to praise the Sacred Heart of Jesus with them. Oftentimes, when we are at prayer, the angels may inspire in us a deeper understanding of God's love, of His presence. When we come into a church before the Blessed Sacrament, the angels call us to a deep reverence for the Lord present in the Holy Eucharist. And throughout our day, when we speak to friends and colleagues and co-workers, we can call upon the holy angels so that they might enlighten us to say the right word, a word that will bring truth, a word that will bring comfort, a word that might express pardon. Pope Pius XI and Blessed John the 23rd always recommended that we speak to the guardian angels of those persons that we have to deal with in the course of a day. Priests can speak to the angels of the people who attend Mass and listen to their sermons, so that these men and women might be open to the words that the priest speaks. When we are going to hear confessions, too, it is well for us as priests to speak to the angels of all those who will come to our confessional, so that we can increase in their hearts a sense of contrition, so that we, too, can be open to saying the right word as the instruments of God in the sacrament of reconciliation and peace. So there are many ways in which we can imitate the angels as messengers. In the life of the Church, the Holy Father has this role as he confirms the College of Bishops in their responsibilities as successors of the apostles. The bishops, in turn, act as messengers of God's love and God's truth, particularly in their relationship with the priests and pastors of their individual dioceses. And priests and pastors, in turn, bring that enlightenment by teaching authentic Christian doctrine and encouraging our moral response to God among parishioners. Parents, too, have this role of being messengers of God's truth and love to their children. And in fact, whenever we have an influence over others as part of our responsibilities, as part of our vocation or our profession, we are cooperating with the angels, collaborating with them, if we inspire goodness and truth and encourage others in the ways of holiness. This task of the angels is a very important one. And very important for us, too, because we realize that the angels are not just the object of our devotion. Instead, the angels help us in the practical aspects of daily Christian life, as we carry the cross and as we help others to carry their crosses, too. The second responsibility of the angels is that of stewardship. Again, we've heard from the fathers of the Church, from so many great preachers, that the angels stand over all of creation. There's not one atom, not one particle that exists that is not somehow under the care of the angels. We use the word stewardship rather than guardianship because here we're talking about not individual human beings who have guardian angels, but rather the principles and forms of all creation. The holy angels carry into creation, we might say, the laws of God. They carry His order, His beauty, His creative love, which has brought all things into being. And so they bear these truths into the material world, so that the material world might reflect in a certain way the divine perfections, the divine beauty, the divine harmony. Part of this task of stewardship is to defend the material universe, to keep all things in order, to preserve the laws which govern science and reality. In this way, they do battle against the evil spirits who cannot attack God directly, but who vent their anger and frustration at His creative plan by exploiting the weaknesses of creation and also by attacking human persons. For we are created in the image and likeness of God and are called to such a remarkable place according to God's plan of grace. The holy angels will maintain their stewardship over all creation until the time when, in the Lord's plan, the new heavens and the new earth will come among us. As we read in the book of Revelation, this too is part of God's plan. How do we imitate the holy angels as stewards? We do so by preserving the gifts of God to ourselves and to others. Now, first of all, these are the spiritual gifts of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace in our souls and in the souls of those who are committed to us as our pastors, our parents, our teachers, our friends, our co-workers, etc. We need to pray for all those around us who have a mission from God in our behalf. We need to pray for our Holy Father that He may have strength and health and joy in preaching the gospel and in being the sign of unity for the whole church and also the messenger of salvation for the world. We need to pray for our pastors in their mission. We need to pray for parents. We need to pray for teachers. We need to pray for all of those who have spiritual responsibilities, so that they might practice virtue and use the gifts of God as God intends for the good of those in their charge. There are temporal gifts, too, that we must be stewards of if we are to be faithful to God. We have to be stewards of our physical health, our mental health, sharing our material blessings with others, especially the needy, and exercising justice towards others. These two are very important aspects of how we practice the stewardship of the angels in our daily life. In a few moments, we'll be back and we'll speak about the other aspects of the angels' life and activity.
Next time you visit EWTN.com, be sure to check out the religious catalog section. You'll find a wide variety of Catholic products. From Bibles to rosaries, there's something for everyone. And you can order online. It's easy, safe, and secure. Shop the religious catalog 24 hours a day at EWTN.com.
Acclaim Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh gladly, and come into His presence with songs of joy. Know that He, Yahweh, is God. He made us, and we belong to Him. We are His people. Walk through His porticos giving thanks, and enter His courts praising Him. Give thanks to Him, and bless His name. Yes, Yahweh is good, and His love is everlasting. His faithfulness endures from age to age.
It's fun.
It's free.
It's Wings, EWTN's weekly e-newsletter delivered to your inbox free each week. Read about upcoming special programming.
And learn what's new at EWTN, radio, TV, and Internet.
Just send an email to radio@EWTN.com.
Be sure to put Wings in the subject line.
Wings, a free service from your friends at the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
If the angels are stewards of God's gifts, His gifts to creation and His gifts to us, they are also warriors. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, as well as in the New, we find the angels defending us against evil, defending the plans and purposes of God. They are the protectors of the Israel of God, both the 12 tribes of Israel and the new Israel formed through Christ's saving action, the church. Now, warfare among the angels is not a warfare that's carried out with weapons. The tradition of the church is that the warfare of the angels, both the warfare that occurred at the trial of the angels at the beginning of time and their day-to-day warfare on our behalf, this is carried out not with physical weapons, but with virtue, with their power of spirit. The Archangel Michael, who is venerated as the head of all heaven's armies, cries out, "Who is like God?" That's a cry of humility. And it is by his humility and his trust in God, his trust in God's plan, that he vanquishes Lucifer, and Satan is cast down from heaven. In the same way, today, the angels, by their powers of persuasion, by their holiness, seek to defend us against the attacks of the evil one. Why does the evil one tempt us? Why is Satan interested in us? It is because Almighty God has created us with such an important place in His plan. It is because the Lord of heaven and earth has come down to us as man. Jesus has taken flesh of Mary so that we might be transformed, so that we might be divinized and raised up to heaven to share that vision of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which will fill us with joy for everlasting life. The jealousy of the fallen angels causes them to attack us, to attack in us the image and likeness of God, to show God, as it were, that He made a mistake in creating us. But the love of God strengthens us. The cross of Christ heals us. The victory of Christ at Easter assures us that victory will be ours if we remain faithful to God, and that fidelity expresses itself in humility of heart and in love, in charity, love of God and love of neighbor. When we practice this love in obedience, we realize the help and the defense of the holy angels. Our angels impress upon us God's graces. They give light to our intellect, which clarifies our thinking and shows us the way to fulfill God's holy will. To our wills, the angels bring strength and determination so that we might accomplish what God asks of us in our daily life. And to our souls, the angels bring encouragement and refreshment, consolation, so that we might persevere in doing what is good and right and just. The evil spirits, on the other hand, bring to us very different gifts. To the intellect, they bring darkness and confusion. In fact, theologians say that the first punishment of sin is blindness, darkness. We lose the ability to see what is good, what is right, what is true. We can see that in the lives of many who have turned away from the church, ceased practicing the faith, because the devil instilled within them a certain darkness, a certain confusion. There was a resistance to grace, and from that first resistance to grace, step by step, there was an advance in darkness until they have left the church entirely. Now, we have the hope and trust that by God's grace, they can come back. And so we make intercession. We make atonement in reparation for the sins of those who have turned away, so that they might find that enlightenment once more, so that weakness and hesitancy in their wills might be replaced by strength and tenacity in doing what God requires of us. We pray, too, that Satan's sadness, the sadness and despair that fill the hearts of those who wander in darkness and sin, might once again be replaced by that encouragement and consolation, that sweetness of heavenly grace. The angels had only one opportunity, one battle, in which they had to overcome self and selfishness. What they accomplished for their eternal beatitude with one battle takes us a whole lifetime of struggles, seemingly countless ones. But our struggles bring victory and advance. And we realize, too, that in God's plan of love, when we falter, when we fail, we can turn back to Him. He goes out in search of us, like the good shepherd seeking the lost and wandering sheep. The Lord calls us home, and through the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we can once more find the grace of God and that new life of Christ. So the power of the good angels to intercede for us, to enter into the fray, into our struggles on our behalf, is very great indeed. But we need to call upon them so that we might have this assistance, so that we might grow strong and rich in this aid. How do we imitate the angels as warriors? Well, there are three things necessary for someone to become a soldier or a warrior on earth. The first is good health. And in the spiritual life, good health refers to grace, sanctifying grace. We have to turn away from serious sin, mortal sin. We have to learn, too, to overcome habits of sin, which may be lighter or venial, but nonetheless can weaken us and slow down our advance in grace and cool the fire of charity within us. When we grow in grace in this way, we also advance in proper training, discipline of the mind and the body. This proper training is supplied by growing in the knowledge of God and in the teachings of the faith, growing in the acquisition and practice of virtues, especially through obedience to God's commands and a deeper understanding and identification with the mind of the church. So the angels would lead us to a deeper sense of the spiritual life through spiritual reading and meditation, the practice of prayer, through pondering the teachings of the Holy Fathers and the saints. In this way, we will derive the greatest aid, the greatest grace, from the most important weapons that God gives to us, the sacraments, especially from the reception of Holy Communion. When we receive our Lord in Holy Communion each day, we have within us the divine Trinity. God dwells within. He sanctifies us. He transforms us. He changes us. And the theologians and spiritual authors remind us that if we do not put impediments to God's grace, then from one Holy Communion to the next, from one Mass to the next, we really advance and progress in the spiritual life. We may not always see this success or these advances, and there's good reason for this. if we were to see the success that we're having, the growth in the spiritual life, it would be very easy for us to give in to the sin of pride. And so the Lord may leave us in darkness about this spiritual growth and advancement precisely so that we can progress all the more. Then at the right time, in God's time, He will reveal to us how we have grown in the spiritual life, how we have progressed, how we have increased our love for God and our love for neighbor. And our model in this is always our Blessed Lady. For Mary, by her humility, crushes the head of Satan. Mary, by her wholehearted trust in God's plan and in God's love, advances the kingdom in a most remarkable way in each one of us. So as we turn to the Blessed Mother in our prayer, we find in her the teacher and the defender against evil, and the angels who are her servants rush to our side when we remain at the side of Mary. The angels are also our guardians, as we have said throughout all the course of these programs. This guardianship is directed primarily to the soul, our soul, and secondarily to the grace of God within us. The guardian angel never ceases to accompany our souls, even if we are in sin, serious sin, over the course of our whole lifetime. The angels never leave us. Only death severs the relationship of a guardian angel to a soul which is lost. And for the redeemed, the angel becomes our companion in all eternity in the happiness of heaven. There's more to say about the angels as guardians and their other responsibilities, and so I hope that you'll come back to us next time for the angels of God. In the meantime, continue to ask your guardian angel to pray with you and to deepen your spirit of prayer and reverence, so that in all things you may give praise to Jesus, not only in your adoration, but in your daily life, not only when you're alone, but especially when you are with others. I'm Father John Horgan. Thank you for being with us, and we hope to see you again next time on Angels of God.